You ever done a project around your house with small children? They're great help. You get your toolbox out. You're starting to do whatever. Papa, what's this for? It's a hammer. It's for nails. We don't need it right now. Papa, what's this for? It's a screwdriver. Well, what's that for? It's for putting screws in. What's this for? It's a file. What's it do? It makes things smooth. Papa, what's this? It's a tool. What's it for? It's for fixing things. Right? You get to this point, but there's a truth there. Because everything boils down to, yeah, it's a tool. What's it for? It's for fixing things. We see this kind of question to Jesus. What's the most important commandment? We have the Pharisees asking this. The folks who are all about making sure you do every little thing right. This is the not a hair out of place guys. All of the additional things that we have built as a fence around the law, all of the exact things you must do exactly thus and so in order to please God. And now they're being kind of nasty about it because they're trying to set him up, right? They ask Jesus, well, what's the most important one? You going to say we can ignore the other ones? Then you must not be of God. And Jesus takes it and he says, you know what? You know what all these laws are about? You know what all the prophets are about? You know what God himself is about? Love. It all boils down to, well, what are all these commandments? What are all these rules for? What are all these messages for? What are all these miracles for? What are all these Sunday mornings for? What are all these Bible studies and prayer meetings for? What's it good for? And it boils down to a really simple answer that sounds like it might not be great news. But it turns out to be good news. Because Jesus says it all boils down to love. It's all about this. Love your God with everything you've got. Your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. I'm in trouble. My entire mind was not on loving God this morning. It was on getting through the shower on time and getting shaved and getting here on time, which I was not. My spirit was not about loving God. It was about trying to not get too mad at the people on the road. And all my strength, I mean, I had to pay attention to where I was driving, right? But I'm even in worse trouble because there's a second commandment that's just like it. It's just as important. And it's love your neighbor as yourself. I already talked about the traffic. I already admitted in the kids' sermon that sometimes I don't want to help my neighbor. I was at work this week and I shut the door to my office because nobody knew I was over there. I didn't have to help anybody. But that means I can't live up to this law of love. How is that good news, God? I was doing better when there were 1,000 commandments. At least I could do like 800 of them. Come on! What am I supposed to do with this? But the neat thing about love is that it's not about our love. It's not about how much you love. Ask my wife whether I love her enough. Just don't ask her when I forget to take out the trash. It's not about your love, not even about your love for God. Because guess what? God doesn't need it. He's God. It might be a hard truth to hear, but he doesn't need your love. He doesn't need your praise. He doesn't need you to love him. So why do we? Because what we have, our love for God and our love for our neighbor, is a reflection of God's own love. You can't even love God without Him loving you. You're like me. You get mad at the people on the road, or your spouse, or your kids. You're a sinner. Welcome to the club. And as sinners, we can't love God without the fact that He loves us first. The fact that He chose you, He loved you, and He said, "You are now mine." And He gave you this gift of love that overflows back to Him. You know what else God doesn't need? He doesn't need us to do good things. He's God. He is more than capable of making something happen if He wants it to happen. He is more than capable of taking care of this world without anything that we do. But we have the amazing privilege of taking that love that God has poured into us and letting it flow out to other people. God doesn't need your good works, but your neighbor does. The quote from Martin Luther. God doesn't need you to come and do the right things. God didn't call you to earn your way into heaven by getting it right. What God did is He looked at you and said, "You're not going to be able to get it right. And that's okay, because I did." He says, "You're going to get it wrong tomorrow, and that's okay, because I love you. And you know what? I'm going to use you." God looked at you when He called you and said, "I will use you." Because this demand on our lives to love God and love our neighbor, Jesus has already done for you. His love for you fulfills this call on your life. His love through you acts this out. It's almost like we planned this. We're talking about spiritual gifts and serve our city and all our opportunities to love each other. It's almost like we planned this when we're in the middle of a season where things are not always going right. And we look to each other and say, "How can we hold together as a church?" Well, maybe we didn't plan it, but God did. I think it's safe to say that we're in a season where we're under attack. There is an enemy. He is real. He does oppose what God is trying to do. And that puts us in the middle of it. And the neat thing about that is God looks at him and goes, "Cool, I'm going to use that to make my people stronger. Cool, I'm going to use that to make my people love each other more. To give this gathered body of Christ the opportunity to lift each other up in prayer. To lift up those who are suffering. To come alongside one another and to show God's love." What's that good for? Everything. What God has called us to do is to live out His love with and for each other. He has given us the privilege of coming before Him. We get to stand in the gap for each other and approach God and lift each other up. Those of us who are hurting, those of us who are struggling, those of us who are doing great. We have the privilege to love our neighbor with God's own love. And we have the privilege to go out into this city and love everyone else with that same love. Because God so loved the world the world that opposes him, the world that rejects him, the world that doesn't have time for him, the world that we love with his own love. It's easy to say. It's harder to do. But remember from our epistle reading that you were called and you are not lacking in any good gift. This gathered body of believers has been called. You are here because God has you here in Tucson at Desert Hope because he has a plan. That plan is to love you and love through you. That plan is to use those gifts that he has given you. For we are not lacking in any good gift. I swear I didn't plan that around the spiritual gifts workshop. I mean, these are the lectionary readings, right? He's given us what we need. So if you don't know, I'm a Air Force chaplain. And if I deploy or if I go on an exercise or whatever, I don't just have to go get my stuff together. I go to the different offices and they give me what I need. Right? Here's the body armor. Here's the helmet. Here's the gear. I don't get a gun, that's fine. God has given you what you need for the battle that is in front of you. Have no illusions about there being a battle, because there is one, like it or not. You have been called out of this world and into the family of God for a reason. But you have been equipped with what you need. You have been given the love that you use to convert, to share, to support others. You have been given the faith that lays hold to Christ in the sure knowledge that you can't do it without him anyway. And you are not lacking in any gift. So when you sit here and think, well, I can do this, or I'm okay at that, and you wonder what's it for, the answer is the same. It is for love. It is for you loving God as we gather here together, and as he calls you forward on your work, and it is for you loving your neighbor, because God has called you. He has gifted you to serve where you are at. Not because you got to do enough, but because he offers to you the chance to cooperate with him. And he calls you into the fellowship of his Son, the one we follow, the one in whose name we gather, the one by whose name we are called as Christians. Even Jesus Christ, whose body and blood we will shortly receive for the strengthening of our faith and the forgiveness of our sins. It's his fellowship and his call and his change in your life. So you are called to fight back. To fight back against what attacks we may see. To fight back against apathy and boredom. To fight back against the temptation to go, well, you know, the church could do more, but maybe somebody else can. Or I don't have time. To fight back against your own sinful nature. Because God has forgiven you. You have been made new. You have been transformed. Your new life starts now. It is a life of love for each other and for this world. A life of love that God gives you, that's poured out and overflowing in and through your lives. What's it for? That you are loved, and that you love. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.